In 1162, a man jumped to the moon. In 491, Galileo made the sun. In 1287 was the first ever Kevin. In 1919, Martin Sheen became queen. Something's after going on. What's the crack with this thing? All kinds of carry on. Look what's after happening.
Hello and welcome to Look What's After Happening.
Get in here. What are you doing out there?
Yeah, would you stop playing around with that old dog?
Yeah, leave him alone.
Leave him alone.
He's old enough.
He's old enough. How did he get up the tree?
We've no idea, but he's happy enough up there now.
Yeah.
Leave him alone. You're just annoying him. You're antagonising the dog and the dog doesn't want you.
Yeah. Okay, so he's adopted a family of birds.
That's fine.
They look happy.
He looks happy.
Yeah.
There's no issues here. Why are you getting involved? You always get involved.
And this is a very special episode of the podcast because it's Colin's birthday.
It's Colin's birthday. You're right. It's my birthday. And because of that, we're going to talk about a little bit about the DSPCA and why what they do is a travesty. And it shouldn't be allowed. And we should be allowing dogs to just roam free and live in trees.
We should be allowing that.
Yeah, we should be allowing that, you know, and that's why we're giving out to this. That's a little clip there you just heard. We're giving out to a local DSPCA volunteer.
And, right, yeah, yeah.
And they were just hassling a stray dog. And he obviously had sort of finagled his way into a tree and was...
Just bargained his way into a tree. And you know, they went. We're like, listen, we got to get this dog out of your tree.
Yeah.
And we were like, it's fine. Leave that dog.
Leave the dog. What are you going to do? You're going to take that dog from the tree where it's free and it's doing what it wants and it has a family of birds, and you're going to bring it over to some institution with a cage and throw it into a cage.
Yeah.
And feed it regularly, but it's in a cage.
Stop it from harming birds.
Maybe deal with some of the mange that it had accumulated on its body.
Stop it from trying to fly itself.
Yes, stop it from learning its behaviour from a flock of birds and trying to fly and failing, jumping out of the tree and failing over and over again.
Yeah, but that never did you any harm.
Me? No, I spent my ages 3 till 6 in the tree.
Mm-hmm.
That very tree that's outside the studio now.
Oh, yeah.
That's where, because I only grew up, you know, 8 to 10 miles away from here.
In Dublin. Yeah.
In 8 to 10 miles away from here in Dublin. And, you know, the border, just over the border.
Right, yeah.
And, so I came down to this tree and I used to live in this tree. And I used to fly. Well, I never used to fly, but I used to try to fly every day. Every day I was up there. Throwing myself off like a little, one of those little little flying squirrels. What are they? They call a flying squirrel? Grant. Well, I look like one of those because I had excess skin, of course, underneath the arms.
Yes.
So I used to float down, but I wasn't flying really, you know.
But you ended up selling that excess skin.
I did, yeah. So a lot of people don't know that, but you can grow your skin and you can send it to
Harvey
kids.
Norman.
Sent it to Harvey Norman.
Kids section.
The kids section, Harvey Norman. So you have your Lego and you have like some of your Minecraft gear, and you can also buy an extra bit of skin for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just buy it in like foot squared sheets.
Yeah.
And so wherever you need it. If you need a bit of a skin graft or whatever.
A bit of a skin graft or to make like a cover for a cushion or for some kind of necromancy.
Exactly. Whatever you fancy. You have a couple of skin cushions inside and you say they're some of the best cushions you've ever used.
Yes. Now, these were donated to me by Charlie, the golfer.
Yes.
Who, he was like, listen, I've come across some skin in the bushes there. Do you fancy that?
Yeah, and you did.
And I did. I mean, you know, you wouldn't be able to tell it looking at them because he's put a button in
the middle of it.
Yeah, in the belly button.
The belly button. Yeah, because that's one of the telltales. If you have a nipple or you have a belly button or something, you can tell it's skin.
Yeah.
But if you stick a couple of buttons over those things, it looks like leather.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in many ways, it is leather.
It is leather.
It's just human. It's just a leather cushion.
It's just a leather cushion, That it's a little softer than your average kind of like hide, but...
with a Mickey as a zip.
Yeah, and you'd think, well, they would have had to remove the Mickey from the skin and then attach it to a metal contraption for it to be a zip. Yeah. Yes. And they did.
They did. I mean, the teeth of the zip.
Our teeth.
Our human teeth. And
the bit at the end to stop the zip going too far. Fingernails.
Fingernails, yeah. And lickety-split, it was done. Now, Charlie got arrested a few years ago. Did you hear about
that? Charlie the cannibal.
Charlie the... Well, that's... Yeah, they started calling him that. Charlie the golfer.
Once he wasn't famous for the golf anymore, they were like, well, honestly, it feels...
Because he was an off-road golfer. Like, he wouldn't be on a golf course. He would just... If you found him in your garden, back garden, late at night, he'd be like, oh, I'm just playing through. Just... he'd always have the club with him.
He would have all... Yeah.
Raised in the air. Exactly. Like, oh, I'm just about to take a swing here.
Yeah. And if you catch him, like if you've ever driven through the mountains, you might find Charlie coming back from like the depths of nowhere, covered in like blood and dirt, but he'd always have a golf club and you're like, ah, oh, must be playing difficult around. Yeah, stuck in a hazard out there. Poor old Charlie. Turns out that's what he was doing, but 10 years later got into cannibalism.
Turns out that's what he was doing, but years later he got into cannibalism. Yeah, so that was perfectly reasonable, but actually...
Once he got his shoulder injury...
Oh, yeah, the golfing career was over.
Yeah, and he was like, well, the only thing I can do now is hunt and kill man.
Yeah, I mean, people... You know, he'd raise money by people sponsoring him to go around and golf. Like, oh, I'm going to do a bit of golf. Do you want to pay me and you can watch? And then once his arm was damaged, he couldn't do it anymore.
No, but he was obviously, that was his main source of income. So he's like, well, I will put on a show for you. And he tried a bunch of things. He tried Rubik's Cubes. He tried knitting. Mm-hmm. None of them were really having the wow factor that he was hoping for from the golf, because the golf was a huge wow factor.
Yeah,
because if you followed Charlie playing golf, you didn't know where you were going to end up.
Now, he wouldn't be big up on the law, so of course
not big up at all. No,
big up on the law, and so you know he didn't realize that cannibalism was a crime. So he was like, "Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll get people to pay me to watch me eating a man."
And so pay him to watch him eating a man.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
So he ate a man, he recorded a video of it, and he was like, do you want to watch me watching this? Like in, you know, the film Grizzly Man. It's just you can see my reactions rather than actually seeing the thing.
Exactly.
And first door, he knocks on...
Superintendent.
Twist. And he was straight in irons.
Yeah, he was. And not because of the cannibalism. That was actually, you know, they found that out later. It was because he was soliciting door to door. It was a soliciting charge he got brought in on.
Yes.
And then we went through the tapes and stuff. Turns out, the cannibalism was a much bigger charge they could hit him with. Yeah.
And hit him they did.
Oh, they hit him with a big skin mallet.
Yeah. Anyway, what so you've been campaigning against the DSPCA for your birthday.
Ever since they rejected me, because you remember I was trying to adopt a dog ages ago. I was trying to adopt a dog. Yeah. Then they gave me a man in a dog suit.
Who was a mechanic.
It was a mechanic, yeah. And because I wanted a baby. Anyway, so...
That was part of the problem. You kept forgetting.
I was the issue, They said I didn't display enough want, enough desire to even remember
what
I was looking
for. Well, they brought the baby to your door. You're like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. I don't know what... You wanted a baby. That's why you have a dog. I was wondering where this dog came from.
Honestly, I thought I wanted a mechanic. By the time we'd sorted it all out, I thought what I'd asked for was a mechanic. Because it was very handy to have him around the house. He was fixing everything.
Yeah.
So the DSPCA deemed that I was an unfit dog owner. And because of that, then I didn't get a baby.
Mm.
So I've been on a bit of a rampage against them. And I have to say it's quite tough because they have a lot of goodwill behind them, the DSPCA. The public seem to be really, they've bought into this PR that they've, you know, they're looking after dogs and they're doing a good thing, you know, and I'm really trying to crack up open the case.
Yeah, crack it up open.
Crack it up open.
Now, you have been, I mean, DSPCA, of course, is the Dublin Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, but you've been trying to create a rift between them and the ISPCA.
Well, that would, initially, I thought, if we're going to do anything, first of all, divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. Because they were so strong. Not only did they have the Dublin area,
yeah,
they had the weight of the behemoth, the ISPCA, behind them.
Is that behemoth real?
That we haven't seen it, but they definitely... It's kind of like... it's like crypto. You know, it exists because they say it exists.
Right, you okay, know? Yeah,
so
yeah,
the behemoth
yeah.
is real yeah. as long as you have fear of it. And yeah. I do have fear of it. And I just didn't want to deal with the possibility of a behemoth. Because I don't have the time for that.
God, no.
I don't have the time for a behemoth.
That would take ages to deal with.
Long. So yeah. long. We were very busy men.
Imagine taking it for walks.
I couldn't. And feeding a behemoth.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the amount you'd have to feed
full-time
a behemoth?
Full-time job.
Ah. You'd only be finished filling up its trough and you'd be filling up the next trough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Its trough would be like... I don't know, like a reservoir or something.
Yeah, like a reservoir dog. That's what he would be. Be like a giant reservoir dog.
Hmm.
Yeah, dog that... Yeah, never mind. You know what I mean. Anyway, I didn't want to deal with that. I didn't want to deal with the behemoth.
So you've been spreading rumours between the ISPCA and the DSPCA.
I said the DSPCA said that the ISPCA's mother was a terrible cook.
Wow.
That's what I started off with.
Yeah, all of them.
All of the mothers of all of the people that work in the ISPCA have a terrible cook for a mother. And I was saying that the DSPCA were the ones that were saying it.
Now, you have found an ally in the Womas PCA.
The Womas PCA?
Yeah, the Westmeath Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals.
Yeah, finally, someone answered the klaxon call.
They're
on social
up
media.
For anything, really.
Oh, I mean, you say they. It's one woman.
Yeah.
And she's fantastic, don't get me wrong.
Gupnet,
yeah. But she's just very enthusiastic, and I'm not sure. I have a feeling that, like, after this happens, after she's conquered this feud, I think she's going to have a taste for power. Yeah,
really?
Yeah. She seems to be really into the power element of it.
Not so much in the prevention of cruelty to animals.
It doesn't seem to be focusing on that at all.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me saying, Gupnet. Yeah. She's always listening. So if she
okay.
If she doesn't like what I'm saying, I'll get hit with a pellet or something.
Right.
She'll shoot me with a pellet from a distance. Yeah.
She has a little clicker to, you know, reward you or something. She gives you treats.
Yeah, when... Yeah, I mean, obviously, when I do something good.
Yeah.
she'll click her little clicker.
Yeah.
And it doesn't affect me.
No.
I don't need it.
No.
But every time she clicks, she gives me a little bit of bacon.
Okay, right, yeah.
I'm not going to say no to that, you know. And when I'm bold, she'll say, bad Colin, and she put me in my crate.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, but again, I know what she's doing. I get what she's doing. I know she's trying to train me like a dog.
Mm.
And it won't happen.
No.
It won't happen.
No.
So, now, I am eating all my meals out of a bowl on the ground and... drinking all my liquids from a bowl on the ground.
Yeah.
And I'm living in a kennel now.
In a kennel?
In a kennel.
Well, that's a big change for you.
It's a big change, but I get bacon. So, you know, I'm doing it because I want to do it. Just want to point that out. Anyway, the Womas Pekasaga.
Mm-hmm.
The Womas Psi.
Oh, yeah. Difficult. Difficult for you.
The woman PCCA. the woman SPCA.
Yeah.
Is, she's on board. So, we're really starting to...
Oh, no. That looks like it's
oh, God.
Starting to take an effect. Yeah, a little bit of a... howl.
Yeah. That's been happening over the last couple of weeks. Whenever there's a full moon, I'm kind of like...
Really? Know, a full moon?
A full moon, because I'm howling.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do dogs do that?
Some dogs do. Huskies do, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, the feud, it's ongoing, and I'm struggling to, because the ISPCA, they read through the rumours immediately, because it was only my Twitter account that was putting out any of these rumours.
Yeah.
So they're able to be like, well, that seems like it's just you saying that. And they were right.
Well, I've had my own animal troubles this week.
Oh, you have?
Yeah,
yeah, of course.
The kangaroo.
Yeah, well, and I'm sorry to hear that, by the way, because I know that you were hopeful that you and the kangaroo would have...
a good relationship, you know. I mean, it's my new neighbour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And honestly, it seemed like it was going well at the beginning. You know, he invited you over for a little barbecue.
Seemed like that was what it was. Yeah. It was hard to tell, you know. I just saw a kangaroo in the neighbor's house.
But he had like trampled down your fence, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was standing on the other side of it, kind of like, yeah.
Just like Skippy the Bush Kangaroo.
Skippy, but also kind of waving his hands, you know, as if to say, come on in.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, who knows what those hand waves.
But now I wonder, was it more aggressive?
It's like, somebody's taught a kangaroo sign language. Now, I don't know sign language.
No. But it seemed calm enough that you thought it was saying something.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like it was just pointless gesturing. It seemed as though there was some...
Witches. Which is what an angry kangaroo might do.
Oh, an angry kangaroo? You don't know. You know.
But this kangaroo seemed calm.
Yeah, it seemed like a very... Well, I mean, apart from the fact that it had destroyed your fence.
Yeah, or, altered it.
Yeah, sure.
By
trampling it down. But some of the fence still existed, for sure. There was just a point in the middle where it was now a track between your and their back garden.
Yeah.
So it hasn't gone as well
as
you
like. What I thought was their back garden. I mean, the house next door was for sale for a while.
Yeah.
And then I saw...
You don't see species.
Yes.
You don't see species. You know, it's 2022. You're like, yeah, a kangaroo can own a house.
Maybe
so
a kangaroo
what?
Could own a house.
So
I don't
what?
Know. Yeah. Maybe, you know, somebody left this kangaroo a house in its will.
Yeah, who knows?
In their will. Yeah. Not in its will.
Not in its will, no, because it's alive, but like in their will. And yeah, so what? You know, we can get on board with these things. We just have to expand our mind. It's fine.
Yeah.
And so you very nicely, you said, oh, actually, yeah, I'll head over to this kangaroo. So was it a barbecue or was it like a fire?
Well, it was, yeah. I mean, I looked at the bar as soon as I got there. I was like, okay.
So you had the smell of the barbecue. You were like, oh, there's someone doing a barbecue.
Yeah.
So you couldn't see it at this point.
No, I was like, oh, you know, when you smell a barbecue, you're like, delicious, God, I'd love some of that. Went over and, I looked down, barbecue was just scattered across the patio and I was like, well, that's not...
Traditional.
That's not traditional, no.
But maybe they do something different down under.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I went inside and I was like, okay, well, maybe the barbecue didn't work, but they just... popped it in the cooker.
Yeah.
And what do you know? The cooker like was turned up to the max. Like I looked at this, I was like, this should be at 180 and the
tops.
And it was at like 240 or something. I was like, what are you trying to cook with this?
Oh no. You'll burn anything in a 240.
Yeah.
You'll burn anything. And that's 360 for our Fahrenheit? No, 4 or something for our Fahrenheit.
I don't think we need to worry about that.
We'll make sure we get it right, though. You know, we have to, because we've thrown it out there now.
I think they can figure it out for themselves that
too... Allow us to...
It was too high. Yeah. We're waiting now for Colin.
464.
To do the maths in his head. 464.
So there you go. If you were lost up until that point, you're like, oh, you know, 240 doesn't seem that hot at all. Well, it was 460.
Yeah.
There you go now.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, you know, it. The tuna steaks that were drizzle on top were
in the tinfoil wrap.
In the tinfoil wrap, yeah, God. They were just destroyed.
Inedible.
Inedible, yeah.
Yeah, and just sort of crispy and stuff. And so
Kangaroo looked at me so hopeful.
Oh, God, because it wasn't able to open the oven because... It was waiting for you
to
arrive.
Well, no more
over.
Hopeful in, like, you know, somebody who doesn't really cook very well, but they cook for you. They're like, well, I hope you like this.
Yeah, I didn't have all of the instructions, but I gave it a good go.
Yeah.
And they look at you with big sort of wide, dewy eyes.
So I made my way slowly through that tuna steak, you know, just trying to shove as much as I could into the bin. Yeah.
But also just like crunching through it, you know, because it was probably just char at that point.
Yeah, it was not nice. It was not nice.
Yeah.
But Kangaroo barely touched its own tuna steak.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you just got the impression that it had already eaten or something.
I don't know.
Maybe, you know, sometimes when you're cooking, you sort of nibble.
Yeah.
You nibble
kind of
as you go.
It, yeah.
You know, and then by the time the meal arrives and you've cooked for an hour and a half, you're actually not that hungry anymore. Might have been that.
Yeah.
Might have been that. And Camille, the family that used to live there, they, you know, they weren't tied up in the corner or anything. They were...
No, because they put the place,
put
up,
the
for
place
sale,
up for sale.
So, yeah, so that seems legitimate. Yeah, I think it was just a kangaroo that had just wandered in.
Oh, God. Doing its best.
Doing its best. Yeah, I mean, it's in the courts now. Does it have squatter's rights or not?
Well, if anyone's going to have a squatter's right, it would have to be a kangaroo. Like, they can squat like no one's business. Yeah.
I mean, you say that, but, you know, guess who's moved in now?
Not the powerlifters.
No, the powerlifters tried, but Kangaroo chased them off as toad.
It was a toad?
Yeah. I mean, nobody's going to squat better than a toad.
Well, it's the natural position for a toad.
Yeah.
Is the squat.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be, that'll be very difficult. But at least, I mean, one thing for the kangaroo is that it is in a kangaroo court, so he has that on his side.
Yes. Toad has stuck up a sign saying Toad Hall.
Yeah.
And it's got an old fashioned car now that it goes parp parp with.
Yeah. And made sure that they're selling Toad in the Hole at the break in the trial. So it's kind of all of those advantages seem to have evened each other out, and it's just going to come down to the cold hard facts of the case.
Yeah.
Right, well, it's a shame because I think, you know, obviously they were looking to be a friend. And I think if it worked out with the kangaroo, it would have been fine. The problem is, now that the toad is in there, the toad has been a real dick to you. So he's patched back up the fence.
Well, I mean, you know, in a way, now, has it patched back up the fence or is that the beaver? Anyway, this week we're talking about pan au chocolat.
We're talking about submarines.
No, we're talking about submarines. Well, anyway, this week we're talking about submarines.
That's right. So they're like boats, but they go under the sea.
That's it. And next week we'll be talking. Oh no, there's a few more notes here.
Oh. No, we've a little bit more than that. But that's, you know, sometimes I feel like we bury the lead a little bit. And what I wanted to do there was just give people the top line. So if they only get this far, you know, you can check out at this point.
Boats that go under the sea.
Boats that are able to go under the sea, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all boats, I suppose, are able to go under the sea.
It's whether they can come back up.
Yeah. And whether or not the crew will survive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
So the submarine... Fascinating invention, steeped in mystery.
Yes, now the idea of submarines goes back to ancient times when Archimedes used to fart underwater.
Yeah, so in an effort, he was quite embarrassed about his flatulence, was Archimedes.
Mm.
And so in an effort to sort of to hide this... health issue, I think it's fair to say, and a lot of people deal with their own gastric issues, but he used to fart into a little container under the water, and he used to keep it down there.
And the idea was, you know, could the Athenian army use this in some way too, so they they would line up one lad behind Archimedes with his lips up to Archimedes' ass, inhaling the farts, and could he breathe that way? And then they were like, well, we could have another lad behind him, breathing in those farts, and a chain back. And so if the Persian army saw them coming, they'd be like, it's just Archimedes. He's grand.
Yeah, he's fine. And then behind him, actually, a secret centipede of very ill men.
breathing in farts. They did make it across the water successfully, but when they got out the other side, I mean...
There were no fit state.
No.
No fit state.
Puking all over the place and retching and... one fella seemed to enjoy it, but the rest of them,
one fella was on board with it, but what the rest of them
quickly put to death.
Oh
by
yeah,
the
but by choice,
Persian army, yeah,
by choice. They said, "Kill us, please."
I can't think of anything other than farts now. Like even normal air seems like farts. Please kill me.
Yeah. And Archimedes, I think, didn't help himself because
he
strolled through at a leisurely pace through that water. Like there was
no
rush.
He took some detours.
Yeah.
Oh, the island of Lesbos. Let's go take a look at that.
Stop and smell some of the like flora and fauna. Yeah. Sort of enjoy the eels.
Smell him behind him, like tapping him, like come on, will you get him up on?
He'd be like, well, don't rush me. Don't rush me. You'll only make it worse.
You'll only make it worse.
And so that was the invention of the human centipede.
Mm. But the idea of submarines had been planted in the human subconscious.
Mm.
And people would read in ancient writings that the Greeks managed to get 1,000 men across the Adriatic Sea under the water.
Underwater. And... here's the thing, humankind had to wait a couple of hundred years before the social scars had sort of faded away, before they were able to attempt something like this again. And it had to be found.
Society would just kind of revolted against the whole idea. So you couldn't like breathe another man's farts for years after that.
No. You just couldn't. It didn't matter if you were in a relationship or not. It was just kind of frowned upon, you know, and it shows you how far we've come, I suppose. So it had to be no longer in the kind of the mind of the people. We had to look at the history books, and the history books were very vague. They were like, we got these men across the water.
Let's not talk about how.
Do not question anything about it. We just did it, right? Yeah. And we were ahead of its time and it worked.
Yeah.
So scholars saw this and thought, let's reverse engineer this. How did they do it? What would we need?
So, there was a fella who really enjoyed being in the bathtub.
Oh, God, yeah. Jonathan Tubman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he was a huge fan of the bathtub. He was all just kind of like loose, obviously a bone structure.
Very wrinkled.
Muscles were kind of, very languid. And, like when you pour water into an ice pop mold, and you put it into a freezer and it kind of just freezes in that. That's kind of what he was just, he took up the whole bathtub, did Tubman.
Yeah.
And he was like, you got to get in on this, lads. Because there's some great engineering that happens in a tub.
Right. Yeah.
Now you were going a different direction, were you?
No. That's exactly the same direction that I was going. But he lived with a guy called Ken who was like... who was like, gosh, let's... what about making like some kind of... canister that could go under the water, and we could we could go in that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And thanks to Ken for that, because without Ken's intervention, nobody really would have taken Tubman seriously.
No. And they never did.
They never did, no. Yeah. And even when they tried to launch a comic book called Tubman, where he had the power of Tub, wasn't that exciting? Do you know what I mean? Unless the crime was happening in and around his tub, it was very difficult for him to intervene.
That's right. Yeah. You the criminals. I mean, all he could do was really lure a criminal in. to himself.
Yeah. So he would, what he'd do is he'd leave the front door open all the time, you know, but not that he could change it, but the door was open all the time, and he'd just say, come on up.
Yeah.
Come on up. Come on in.
Yeah.
What are you looking to rob? I'll help you. And then he'd swing a kind of very weak arm at him and hope that it would connect.
Yeah.
And that was the whole comic.
That was the whole comic.
Every single
one
week.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The first attempts at the submarine, of course, were pretty tricky.
Yeah, of course, because they didn't have the right materials.
No. First of all, they made it out of rocks.
Yeah, then they used just like trees and branches.
Yeah, which, you know, let the water in straight away.
Straight away,
it's just
yeah.
a basket that some men sank to the bottom of the ocean.
yeah. Well, they called it the basket of death.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they used metal. They used like very thin sheets of like a tin foil. And that didn't work out either. So they moved away from metal, fatally, for a while. They thought, well, metal's not the answer. We'll try wood.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work again. Then they went back to the branches and trees thing.
Yeah, let's give this another go.
Because I think we were onto something.
Yeah. Henry Conehead tried to use clouds.
Yes.
Couldn't really capture them.
No.
He got up there and he was like, this is just water. This is just more water.
It's just vapor. Yeah. He did spend most of his life trying to capture the clouds. And then he kind of moved away from the whole submarine thing, and it was really just a method of capturing clouds. So, yeah, it wasn't really handy as such.
No. Because if you wait long enough, they'll just come down to you.
That's it. Yeah. As is true with most things. If you wait long enough, it'll come back.
It'll come down to you.
It'll come down to you. Yeah. Well, you know, actually...
The dog, for example.
The dog. The dog, yeah.
The dog in the tree.
The dog in the tree.
Yeah.
And then one man.
Mm-hmm. Aided by... One chimpanzee.
A pack of squirrels and his wife.
Yeah, in that order.
Now, that might sound like a man and his wife with a chimpanzee and a pack of squirrels. Not the case.
No.
It was a man and a chimpanzee and then a pack of squirrels and his wife. So that pack of squirrels... Married.
Technically a single person.
Yeah, technically in common law was a person, and they married.
Yeah.
The key to the whole damn thing.
They married the key to the damn whole damn thing.
Yes.
Okay.
The inventor of the submarine.
Right.
Marjorie Fleshman.
Yes.
So she figured out.
Do you know what? Let's make this a non-porous material.
Yeah.
And displace enough water that it'll compensate for the volume.
Yeah.
Or for the weight of the submarine and the people inside it.
Yeah. And once she said that, the pack of squirrels...
were like, okay, well, let's abandon this. This... you know, bunch of twigs that we're putting together.
Yeah. I think that was part of the problem, was that like the squirrels were really just thinking we can fix this with twigs.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it started with the man jumping in the sea, and the chimpanzee was like, we've got to save the man.
Mm.
It was really loved that man. Mm. And so it jumped into the sea to try and save the man.
Yeah.
But it had taken, a hang glider with it. It was like, well, this is what we're guessing that the chimpanzee was thinking, was like, if it works in the air, it'll work in the sea. So it plowed into the waves with a hang glider.
Yeah, at pace, like really violently caught kind of like an edge of wind and just flew straight into it.
Chimpanzees
slammed into that.
Slammed
water.
Into the water, down it went.
Down.
Chimpanzee's best friend. Bunch of squirrels.
Pack of squirrels.
Yeah.
Was like, my God, that chimpanzee is my best friend.
Didn't know its name. That chimpanzee is what the squirrels seem to think of.
Yeah. We assume, again, And they were frantically sort of running around the place, and they grabbed a coconut,
mm-hmm.
and were like, "Well, coconuts work in the air. Maybe they'll work under the water." And yeah. dove in after.
Yeah.
And Marjorie Fleshman
mm-hmm.
saw all this happen.
Yeah.
And thought, "Well, thank God.
Now I've got some free time.
Now I have some free time. I don't have to marry that bag of squirrels."
Yeah.
And she spent the next 15 years perfecting
yeah.
the design yeah. of the submarine.
And she brought back those bodies with her submarine.
Yeah.
And said, "Look, there they are. There I've done it. Are.
Yeah.
This is the submarine."
Yeah. And that's where the name comes from. The man's name was Sub. The chimpanzee's name was Mar. And the pack of squirrels was named Ian. And okay. Submarinian.
Yeah.
Were they the people that... Did we have names for them yet?
No. Did we have names for them? Yeah, so that is the history of submarines.
Yeah, submarines. So now you know. This is a small little bit of trivia, but I found out that every single submarine that has been made since Marjorie Fleshman's first one in 1896 has somewhere on it
mm-hmm.
a small drawing of a man, a chimpanzee, in a hang glider and a pack of squirrels with a coconut.
Yeah, one coconut between them.
One single coconut.
Yeah.
So you can find that on any submarine.
Yeah, pop down, say to the lads, "Listen, I want to see the picture.
I want to see the picture. I know about the picture."
Yeah.
And it does say... I think you've got this wrong. I don't think there's any picture. Like, we don't know what you're talking about. And we're not trying to be funny here. You can walk all the way around the submarine, but we're telling you now...
take any secrets you want.
Yeah. But there just isn't what you're looking for.
Mm.
And they'll say that, but don't you worry, they're in there somewhere.
Yeah.
So that's the submarine.
And that's the submarine.
Thank God somebody invented it.
Yes, because Marjorie submarines, Fleshman. I mean, what would we do without them these days?
Oh, I mean, they're one of the cornerstones of transport in the world. Do you know? You know, what are they up to? They're like the blimp of the sea. You know, they're just down there doing their thing.
Yeah.
No one really knows what they're at.
Yeah.
You don't know where they are, but you know they're about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we got time for this
it
week.
It is, but we just have to say that we haven't forgotten about the history festival.
No, a lot of people have written in saying, "Have you forgotten about this?"
Yeah, we've paid tickets.
We haven't forgotten about it.
No, we... Yeah, so back off. We haven't forgotten about it.
Yes, because there's no way we'd forget about that.
No fucking way would we have put that much effort in and then just completely forget about it for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it. We're on the ball with it and it's happening.
If you, other things that are coming up, if you have kids aged 9 to 12 or thereabouts, there is a family improv show called Histrionics, which is on in Smock Alley on the 29th of May at 3 p.m. So
that's a Sunday, isn't it?
That's a Sunday. So book some tickets and come on down. There's going to be, it's unlike the adult show, there's going to be an audience of kids, and the historians are going to be kids and the adults are going to be improvisers, and gosh, it'll be fun. And it's going to be recorded and put out on RT Junior Radio.
God, that sounds great. Do join that group.
Feel free. Just hop on in.
Hop on in. Bring your best slacks and jump in. I'm sure they'll be happy to have you. But yeah, so that's Smock Alley on the Sunday the 29th.
Yeah, of May.
Of May.
But until that time...
that's what's after happening.
In 1162, a man jumped to the moon. In 491, Galileo made the zone. In 1287, was the first ever Kevin. In 1919, Martin Sheen became queen. Something's after going on. What's the crack with this thing? All kinds of carry on. Look what's after happening.